Well met, Corporal Nim. What, an ancient pistol and you friends yet?
For my part, I care not.
What?
I say little, but when what? Time shall serve, there shall be smiles. But what shall be as it may, I dare not fight. But I will wink and hold out mine iron.
Oh.
It is a simple one.
Oh.
For what, though?
Ugh.
It will toast cheese, and it will endure cold as another man's sword will. And there's an end.
I will bestow a breakfast to make you two friends, and we'll be all three sworn brothers to France. Let's be so, good Corporal Nim.
Faith, I will live so long as I may, that's the certain of it.
Yeah.
And when I cannot live any longer, I will do as I may. That is my rest. That is the rendezvous of it.
It is certain he is married to Nell Quickly, and certainly she did you wrong, for you was troth plight to her.
I cannot tell. Things must be as they may. Men may sleep, and they may have their throats about them at that time, and some say knives have edges. It must be as it may. Though patience be a tired mare, yet she will plod. There must be conclusions. Well, I cannot tell. How now, mine host, pistol?
Beast, tyke, callest thou me a host? Now, by this hand, I scorn the term, nor will my Nell keep lodgers.
No, by my troth, for we cannot lodge or board a dozen or 14 gentlewomen that live honestly by the prick of their needles. We give a bawdy house straight. Oh, well, a day, lady, if you be not drawn. Now we shall see willful adultery and murder committed.
Good lieutenant, good corporal, offer nothing here.
Piss!
Hear me what I say. He has struck the first stroke. I'll run him up to the hilt, as I'm a soldier.
An oath of mickle might and fury will abate.
My host pistol, you must come to my master and your hostess. He is very sick and would to bed. Good bardo. Put thy face between his sheets and do the office of a warming pan.
Who are you, rogue?
Faith, he's very ill.
Oh, my troth, you'll yield the crow of pudding one of these days. The king has killed his heart.
Come, shall I make you friends? We must to France together. Why the devil should we keep knives to cut one another's throats?
Let floods o'erswell and fiends for food howl on.
You'll pay me the 8 shillings I won of you at betting.
Base is a slave that pays.
That now I will have. That's the humour of it.
As manhood shall compound, push home!
By the sword, he that makes the first thrust, I'll kill him. By the sword I will.
A sword is an oath. An oath must have their course.
Corporal Nim, and you will be friends. Be friends, and you will not, or be enemies with me too. Prithee, put up.
I shall have the 8 shillings I won of you at betting.
A noble shall thou have, and present pay, and liquor likewise will I give to thee, and friendship shall combine, and brotherhood. I shall live by Nim, and Nim shall live by me. Is not that just? For I shall subtler be unto the camp, and profits will accrue. Give me thy hand.
I shall have my noble.
In cash, most justly paid.
Well, then, that's the humour.
As ever you come of women, come quickly to Sir John. Ah, poor heart. He's so shaked of a burning quotidian turge, and 'tis most lamentable to behold. Sweet men, come to him.
The king hath run bad humours on the knight. That's the even of it.
Nim, thou hast spoke the right. His heart is fracted and corroborate.
The king is a good king, but must be as it may. He passes some humours and careers.
Let us condole the knight. For lambkins, we will live.
Oh, God, his grace is bold to trust such traitors.
They shall be apprehended by and by.
For smooth and even they do bear themselves as if allegiance in their bosom sat crowned with faith and constant loyalty.
The king hath note of all that they intend by interception which they dream not of.
Nay, but the man that was his bedfellow,
whom he hath dulled and cloyed with gracious favors. But he shall for a foreign purse so sell his sovereign's life to death.
Treachery!
Now sits the wind fair, and we will aboard. Lord of Cambridge, and my kind lord of Masham, and you, my gentle knight, give me your thoughts. Think you not that the powers we bear with us will cut their passage through the force of France, doing the execution in the act for which we have in head assembled them?
No doubt, my liege, if each man do his best.
Oh, I doubt not that, since we are well persuaded we carry not a heart with us from hence that grows not in a fair consent with ours. Nor leave not one behind that doth not wish success and conquest to attend on us.
Never was monarch better feared and loved than is your majesty. There's not, I think, a subject that sits in heart grief and uneasiness under the sweet shade of your government.
True, those that were your father's enemies have steeped their galls in honey, and who serve you with hearts create of duty and of zeal.
We therefore have great cause of thankfulness, and shall forget the office of our hands sooner than quittance of desert and merit according to the weight and worthiness.
So service shall with steeled sinews toil, and labor shall refresh itself with hope to do your grace incessant services.
We judge no less. Uncle of Exeter enlarged the man committed yesterday that railed against our person. He considered it was excess of wine that set it on. On his more advice, we parted.
That's mercy for too much security. Let him be punished, sovereign. Best example breed by his sufferance more of such a kind.
Well, let us yet be merciful.
So may your highness, and yet punish too.
Sir, you show great mercy if you give him life, after the taste of much correction.
Alas, your too much love and care of me are heavy horizons against this poor wretch. If little faults proceeding on distemper shall not be winked at, how shall we stretch our eye when capital crimes, chewed, swallowed, and digested, appear before us? We'll yet enlarge that man. Cambridge, Scroop, and Grey, in their dear care and tender preservation of our person, would have him punished. And now to our French causes. Who are the late commissioners?
I won, my lord. Your highness bade me ask for it today.
So did you, mean my liege?
And I, my royal sovereign.
Then Richard, Earl of Cambridge. There is yours. There yours, Lord Scroop of Masham. And Sir Knight Grey of Northumberland, this same is yours. Read them. And now I know your worthiness. My lord of Westmoreland, Uncle Exeter, we will aboard to you. Why, how now, gentlemen? What see you in those papers that you lose so much complexion? Looky how they change. Their cheeks are paper. Why? What read you there that have so cowarded and chased your blood out of appearance?
I do confess my fault. And do submit me to your highness' mercy.
Which we all appeal.
Mercy that was quickness but late by your own counsel is suppressed and killed. It's not therefore shame to talk of mercy. Your own reasons turn into your bosoms as dogs upon their masters, worrying you. See you, my princes and my noble peers, these English monsters. My lord of Cambridge here. You know how apt our love was to accord to furnish him with all appurtenance belonging to his honor. And this man hath, for a few light crowns, lightly conspired and sworn unto the practices of France to kill us here in Hampton. To the which this knight, no less for bounty bound to us than Cambridge is, hath likewise sworn. But oh, what shall I say to thee, Lord Scroop? A cruel, ungrateful, savage, and inhuman creature. Thou, that didst bear the key of all my counsels, that knewst the very bottom of my soul, that almost mightst have coined me into gold, wouldst thou have practiced on me for thy use? May it be possible that foreign hire could out of thee extract one spark of evil that might annoy my finger? 'Tis so strange that though the truth of it stand off as gross as black and white, my eye would scarcely see it.
Oh, how hast thou with jealousy infected the sweetness of affiance? Show men beautiful. Why? So didst thou. See their grave. And learn it. Why? So didst thou. Come, they have noble family. Why? So didst thou. Seem they religious. Why? So didst thou. And thus thy fall hath left a kind of blot to mark the full-fraught man and best endued with some suspicion. I will weep for thee. For this revolt of thine, methinks, is like another fall of man. Their faults are open. Arrest them to the answer of the law, and God acquit them of their practices.
Our purposes God justly hath discovered. And I repent my fault more than my death, which I beseech your highness to forgive, although my body pay the price of it.
For me, the gold of France did not seduce, although I did admit it as a motive, the sooner to effect what I intended. But God be thanked for prevention, which I in sufferance heartily will rejoice, beseeching God and you to pardon me.
Never did faithful subject more rejoice at the discovery of most dangerous treason than I do at this hour, joy or myself, prevented from a damned enterprise. My fault, but not my body. Pardon, sovereign.
God quit you in his mercy. Hear your sentence. You have conspired against our royal person, joined with an enemy proclaimed, and from his coffers received the golden earnest of our death, wherein you would have sold your king to slaughter, his princes and his peers to servitude, his subjects to oppression and contempt, and his whole kingdom into desolation. Touching our person, seek we no revenge. But we our kingdom's safety must so tender, whose ruin you have sought, that to her laws we do deliver you. Get you therefore hence, poor miserable wretches, to your death. The taste whereof God of his mercy give you patience to endure and true repentance of all your dear offenses. Bear them hence. Now, lords, for France, the enterprise whereof shall be to you, as us, like glorious. We doubt not of a fair and lucky war, since God so graciously hath brought to light this dangerous treason lurking in our way to hinder our beginnings. We doubt not now, but every rub is smoothed on our way. Then forth, dear countrymen, let us deliver our puissance into the hand of God, putting it straight in expedition. Cheerly to see the signs of war advance. No king of England, if not king of France.
God save the king! God save the king!
Honey, sweet husband, let me bring thee to Staines.
No, for my manly heart doth yearn. Bar off. Be blithe. Nim, rouse thy fighting veins. Boy, listen thy courage up. For Falstaff is dead, and we must earn therefore.
Would I were with him, wheresoever he is, either in heaven or in hell.
Nay, sure, he's not in hell. He's in Arthur's bosom. If ever man went to Arthur's bosom, I made a finer end and went away, and it had been any Christian child. I parted even just between 12 and 1, even at the turning of the tide. For after I saw him fumble with the sheets and play with flowers, smile upon his fingers' ends, I knew there was but one way, for his nose was as sharp as a pen, and I babbled the green fields. How now, Sir John, quoth I. Come, man, be of good cheer. So I cried out, God, 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 3 or 4 times. Now I, to comfort him, bid him I should not think of God. I hope there was no need to trouble himself with any such thoughts yet. So I bade me put more clothes on his feet. And I put my hand in the bed and I felt them. And they were as cold as any stone. And then I felt up to his knees. And so upward and upward. All as cold as any stone.
They say he cried out of sack.
Aye, that I did.
And a woman?
Nay, that I did not.
That I did, and said they were devils incarnate.
I could never abide carnation. It was a colour he never liked.
He said once the devil would have him about women.
He did in some sorts handle women. But then he was rheumatic and talked of the Whore of Babylon.
Do you not remember? He saw a flea stick upon Bardolph's nose and said it was a black soul burning in hell.
The fuel has gone that maintained that fire. That's all the riches I got in this service.
Shall we shog?
Yeah, the king will be gone from Southampton. Come, let's away! My love, give me thy lips. Look to my chattels and my movables. Go, clear thy crystals. Yoke, fellows in arms, and let us to France. Like horse leeches, my boys, to suck the very blood, to suck!
And that's but unwholesome food, they say.
Touch her soft mouth and march.
Farewell, hostess.
I cannot kiss, that's the humour of it, but adieu.
Let house whiffery appear. Keep close, by the command.
Farewell.
Farewell. Farewell.
Adieu.
Thus comes the English with full power upon us, and more than carefully it us concerns to answer royally in our defences. Therefore, the Dukes of Berry and of Bitain, of Brabant and Orléans shall make forth, and you, Prince Dauphin, with all swift dispatch, to line and you repair our towns of war with men of courage and with means defended.
My most redoubted father, it is most meet we arm us against the foe. For peace itself should not so dull a kingdom, though war nor no known quarrel were in question. But that defences, musters, preparations should be maintained, assembled and collected, as were a war in expectation. Therefore, I say, it is meet we all go forth to view the sick and feeble parts of France. And let us do it with no show of fear. No, with no more than if we heard that England were busied with a Whitson Morris dance. Oh, my good liege, she is so idly kinged, her scepter so fantastically borne by a vain, giddy, shallow, humorous youth, that fear attends her not.
Oh, peace, Prince Dauphin. You are too much mistaken in this king. Question your grace the late ambassadors. With what great state he heard their embassy. How well supplied with noble counselors. How modest in exception. And withal, how terrible in constant resolution. And you shall find his vanities forespent were but the outside of the Roman Brutus, covering discretion with a coat of folly.
Well, 'tis not so. Aye, constable. But though we think it so, it is no matter. In cases of defense, 'tis best to weigh the enemy more mighty than he seems. So the proportions of defense are filled, which of a weak and niggardly projection doth, like a miser, spoil his coat with scanting a little cloth.
Think we, King Harry, strong. And, princes, look you strongly armed to meet him. The kindred of him hath been fleshed upon us, and he is bred out of that bloody strain that haunted us in our familiar paths. Witness our too much memorable shame when Cressy Battle fatally was struck and all our princes captive by the hand of that black name, Edward Black, Prince of Wales. This is the stem of that victorious stock, and let us fear the native mightiness and fate of him.
Ambassadors from Harry, King of England, do crave admittance to your Majesty.
We'll give them present audience.
But your Majesty!
You see, this chase is hotly followed, friend.
Turn head and stop pursuit. For coward dogs most spend their mouths when what they seem to threaten runs far before them. Good, my sovereign. Take up the English short and let them know of what a monarchy you are the head. Self-love, my liege, is not so vile a sin as self-neglecting.
From our brother of England?
From him. And thus he greets your Majesty. He wills you in the name of God Almighty that you divest yourself and lay apart the borrowed glories that by gift of heaven, by law of nature and of nations, longs to him and to his heirs. Namely, the crown, and all white stretched honours that pertain by custom and the ordinance of times unto the crown of France.
Or else what follows?
Bloody constraint. For if you hide the crown, even in your hearts, there will he rake for it. Therefore in fierce tempest is he coming, in thunder and in earthquake, like a Jove, that if requiring fail, he will compel. And bids you in the bowels of the Lord deliver up the crown and to take mercy on the poor souls for whom this hungry war opens his vasty jaws. And on your head, turning the widow's tears, the orphan's cries, the dead men's blood, the privy maiden's groans for husbands, fathers, and betrothed lovers that shall be swallowed in this controversy. This is his claim, his threatening. My message. Unless the Dauphin be in presence here, to whom expressly I bring greeting to.
For us, we will consider of this further.
Your Majesty!
Tomorrow shall you bear our full intent back to our brother of England.
For the Dauphin. I stand here for him. What the hymn from England?
Scorn and defiance, slight regard, contempt, and anything that may not misbecome the mighty sender doth he prize you at.
Say, if my father render fair return, it is against my will, for I desire nothing but odds with England. To that end, as matching to his youth and vanity, I did present him with the Paris balls.
He'll make your Paris Louvre shake for it, were it the mistress court of mighty Europe. And be assured you'll find a difference, as we his subjects have, in wonder found, between the promise of his greener days and these he masters now. Now he wastes time even to the utmost grain. That you shall read in your own losses if he stay in France.
Tomorrow shall you know our mind at full.
Dispatch us with all speed, lest that our king come here himself to question our delay. For he is footed in this land already.
But you shall be soon dispatched with fair conditions. A night is but small breath and little pause to answer matters of this consequence.
Good Mother Majesty, give me leave to speak.
Thus with imagined wing, our swift scene flies in motion of no less celerity than that of thought. Suppose that you have seen the well-appointed king at Hampton Pier embark his royalty, and his brave fleet with silken streamers the young Phoebus fanning. Play with your fancies, and in them behold upon the hempen tackle ship boys climbing. Hear the shrill whistle which doth order give to sounds confused. Behold the threadened sails, borne with the invisible and creeping wind, draw the huge bottoms through the furrowed sea, breasting the lofty surge. Oh, do but think you stand.
stand upon the rivage and behold a city on the inconstant billows dancing, for so appears this fleet majestical holding due course to Harfleur. Follow, follow, grapple your minds to sternage of this navy and leave your England as dead midnight, still guarded with grandsires, babies, and old women, either past or not arrived at pith and puissance. For who is he whose chin is but enriched with one appearing hair that will not follow these culled and choice-drawn cavaliers to France? Work, work your thoughts, and therein see a siege. Behold the ordnance on their carriages with fatal mouths gaping on girded Harfleur. Suppose the ambassador from the French comes back, tells Harry that the king doth offer him Catherine, his daughter, and with her to dowry some petty and unprofitable dukedoms. The offer likes not, and the nimble gunner, with linstock now, the devilish cannon touches, and down goes all before them. Still, be kind, and eke out our performance with your mind.